time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning are going to have a throw-off out in the parking lot, and the entire fan base would leave. The entire Texas area would be empty for the basketball national championship game.
With SI's Pat Forty.
There's only one place that's that weird.
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Got a lot of stuff in the lineup today. A lot of small details, and not just the resignation of that prostitution fighting mayor.
There will be no iced over fishing lake prostitution scandal in Ohio.
No. Now that the crime fighter is off the job, he has resigned after his comments.
Well, yeah.
Right. Now the prostitutes of the ice fishing.
Yeah, they can flock to the lake.
Yeah, free reign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is going to happen to this fair, leafy suburb of Akron when the ladies of the night meet the boys of the ice?
Ladies of the night in their snow boots and parkas.
That's true. It's not exactly the fashion show of Hollywood Boulevard. Is that a North Face you're wearing there? Really? All right. This is going to get bad quickly.
Save us. It's early and we're already going.
Speaking of Ohio. There we go. Gene Smith. I don't believe he ice fist. He's too busy as the athletic director of Ohio State. He gave a big interview with the media down in Ohio. A lot of good stuff. Says the divisions over, you know, there's a lot of anger over should we play, should we not. Says that's all been cured. Everyone is getting along as well as ever. So I don't know if that means Nebraska has learned to be quiet or they're just all getting along. Of course, news is breaking that they might get $1 billion in their TV deal. So that would shut me up.
Yeah, that'd make me feel happy and ready to get along with my fellow billionaire compatriots.
I mean, I pretend I like you, and I don't even get any money off of this pod, so it's the kind of good soul I am.
Yeah, it's all altruism with you.
Well, I like hanging out with Sully.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right. Also interesting, he said that the initial alliance, there's a crack in the alliance, at least in the plan. The initial plan of everyone going to 8 games and then the alliance playing each other, he says he does not sense in the Big Ten there is interest in that. They would rather play 9 league games and then still schedule their maybe they play some alliance teams or maybe not. But there is an interest in generally just playing more games against Big Ten teams, which I think makes total sense. Again, the alliance sounds good. Maybe it would be for Ohio State, but they can go schedule a good game no matter what. But when you hear the alliance, you think Clemson or USC's coming to town, and it's more likely you're going to Oregon State.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, maybe I just want to let's just play Michigan one more time or something, you know, whatever division you're in. So Michigan State or something. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not surprised. Are you?
No. I mean, if you remember back when the alliance was announced back in the summer or whenever it was, you know, this was all. We were sold this was we looked each other in the eye and decided there was no written agreement. There was nothing ever like hammered out that this is how things are going to, we are contractually obligated to do this stuff. So that now looks even more like what it was then, which was the SEC is flexing its muscles. We need to look busy over here. We need to look proactive. We need to band together against these guys and say some things, but we don't even necessarily have to follow through on them. We just got to look like we're standing up to them. No, I am not surprised. But, you know, again, this has been college sports for the last who knows how long, really. But certainly in the last 8 months is like a lot of talk and not a lot of action. We're supposed to have a 12-team playoff by now. We thought we might have an alliance. We really don't have either.
Sold a lot of bill of goods here. It's like a bad NIL deal we got. Guy said he'd pay me.
Yeah, we invested in the Spencer Rattler of
where alliances. Is our F-150? Where is it?
Where's my two cars? Mm-hmm. Where's my two cars? Also talk divisions. We'll see what happens with that. And then he had this line about he believes the 12-team playoff is coming. But he had this kind of curious line that set off a lot of people, a lot of reaction. This would be about if they have a home playoff game. Gene Smith does not want to play it at Ohio Stadium. He would not play a home game at home. I know our fans rally around that and they'd like to host Alabama up here. Sure as hell would.
Yeah.
But now we have the flexibility to move into domes. Now we can move into Lucas Oil or Ford Field or Minneapolis or whatever if we ended up hosting. And I think that that's important because who knows what the inclement weather could be like at that time of the year in any of our places in the north. So we need that flexibility. I don't want a hard surface for the players. And I know the fans would love to have in the shoe and maybe it's snowing or we're playing whoever, but that surface is a whole new ball game. And I prefer to have an indoor elements and have a clean field. If it was this year, I would want CJ Stroud to have good weather. It's just that simple. We've been blessed to have experiences in Lucas Oil playing in the Big Ten Championship. And I think our fans understand that environment. They love the hotels. They love the restaurants, all that. So while it's difficult to take it away from the shoe, I still think that's the right thing to do for the players in the game. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, yes, let's by all means give away a distinct competitive advantage that we would have against teams that we have not had a competitive advantage against in quite a while. You know, there's one chance that you could get those teams to come play you and play you in quote unquote Midwestern weather and nullify perhaps some of the speed advantage they may have and just make them generally more uncomfortable. And we have been listening to Big Ten fans for decades asking to play games in cold weather against warm weather schools. And now the most important AD at a cold weather school is like, no, we don't really want that advantage. No, we're worried about the hard field. What? Come on. That just to me, that makes no sense at all. Not to mention the fact, Dan, that you have this flexibility. Like, when do you decide, oh, we may have a storm, snowstorm coming. So we wouldn't want to play in that. We wouldn't put poor Alabama in a snowstorm. Well, then we'll move to Lucas Oil Field. Well, how far in advance would you have to plan that and work around whatever the NFL schedule may be or any of the myriad other events that are at that convention center / Lucas Oil Field? You'd either have to say, we're going to the domes or we're not going to the domes. And you can't decide that after the playoff is announced on December 5th. I mean, you got to decide that before the season starts. So I don't understand where the hell Gene Smith is coming with.
You think the Packers hate hosting playoff games?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't like it at all, you know? And when you're bringing up the Steak and Shake in Indianapolis, you're really grabbing, clutching
people who are not from the Midwest do not understand the pull of the Steak and Shake in downtown Indianapolis. It'd be cool to host a game over in the shoe.
But we gotta go to the Steak and Shake.
Is in Indy and it's just better. The Frisco Press sandwich is better there.
To the Midwest, the Steak and Shake is like the sunset is to the Rose Bowl.
It's the sunset and the crystal on Bourbon Street to the SEC. Yeah. It is the spiritual home of the league, even if it makes no sense at all. But every SEC fan has walked by that crystal in Bourbon Street and gone, oh, that's, yeah. And they remember the teabag guy and like, all the different stuff.
That's the last time I had crystals was in that crystals. And I don't think I'll ever have it again.
I don't think you should.
I have enormous respect for Gene Smith. He is an extremely smart guy. And I've always enjoyed talking to him. And I've always valued when he speaks that there is thought. This is not one of these dumbasses who says like crazy stuff.
No.
That said, what?
Yeah, makes no sense.
If you're going to fight in the North Atlantic, we train in the North Atlantic. That is the whole point. It's Woody Hayes. This is why we love this place.
Yeah.
I am diametric. I'm just stunned. I don't get it.
I actually don't know the source of this, but it looked factual. So obviously this is the podcast. We dabble in facts.
No, so, I mean, I'm reading it off 11 Warriors.
It's exactly.
Ohio State website. He said it at a press conference.
I saw a chart the other day that had, it was fascinating. I could look at
part. I thought you were disputing the quote.
I'm not disputing the quote.
Like, no, we would not make up quotes of Gene Smith.
No.
Low standards, but
we don't make up quotes here. But there was a chart that had, and it makes sense. It broke up each team in each conference and then the y-axis was how cold it gets on average per game. And then, you know, you had like the Pac-12 and the SEC, yada, yada, all hanging around 60, 70 degrees. And then every single Big Ten team was slammed down at the bottom by far. And like, why don't you use its advantage? Clearly you have it over everybody else. Kentucky and Missouri were kind of close.
Right.
Not really. You know,
I also, I don't know how they're going to divide. But I mean, the Horseshoe is my favorite stadium in the country. I've said this many times. It's literally my favorite college football stadium. It is huge. It is loud, but it's got this character. It's this bizarre construction. It's scary. Like, it looks like there's probably dead bodies in there somewhere. And those big things on the bottom of the shoe part. It's in a big city. The place is crazy. The Ohio State fans are crazy. The crazy ones are not the ones that have the money to go get the hotel rooms that we enjoy in Indianapolis, all that. I would play anything ever in there. Yeah. They should play men's basketball in the Shoe. They should put their hockey team in the Shoe. I love the Shoe. I cannot fathom not playing an Ohio State game. If you can play it in the Horseshoe, always play it in the Horseshoe.
Yeah.
Second, and this is, I've said this for a long time, and I think he's wrong on this. I don't think he's considered it. This will be the one point I will push back on. I hate that the bowl games, they tout, look at how much economic impact it is, Glendale, Arizona, to have the Buckeyes. Screw that. What about the cities that support college football?
Yeah. Right.
Nobody supports college football more as a city of this size than Columbus, Ohio.
Sure.
It's the biggest city, I think, right? I mean, LA.
Biggest crazy city that revolves around college football. Yeah. Yeah.
They have hotels in Columbus, many fine ones. Mm-hmm. They have many fine restaurants, including Steak and Shake, I bet. I don't know. I'll look.
They
got a Waffle House. I've been to the Waffle House in Columbus. It's a little touch of SEC. I think Urban put it in there to help recruiting. We'll get to Urban's restaurant. Wait, it's Urban's restaurant, although it's no longer because, I mean,
they have a Waffle House in Columbus, Ohio, but not LA. That is trash.
Well, Columbus is a little more south than you think.
Dabbles in Ohio. Why not come out another little?
I would love to have the franchise rights to LA for the. I would not be on
money.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where I was, but what the hell? I'm diametrically opposed to this concept. I mean, you want a clean field? CJ Stroud can't handle this? Like, put him out there all December training. What is going on?
I have no idea. I mean, that's like, all of that just, it is, first of all, it's counterintuitive, but secondly, there also is a hint of like, yeah, we're soft now at Ohio State, so we got to throw the ball 50 times, so we got to go play indoors. Like, where are you coming from? It makes no sense to me. You use the advantages that you have, and yeah, maybe, you know what, maybe Alabama or Georgia or whoever would still go up there and kick your ass in the cold, but I'd much rather play them in the cold than in a controlled environment when they have most of the advantages, at least as of right now, on the field. So take what you can get and don't give it away. Literally give it away. I don't understand.
And reward, this is what I'm saying, reward your city. And I don't care if it's the Hilton or the Marriott or the Ruth's Chris, or the guy who lives three blocks from the Horseshoe and sells his parking spots for $50. This would be the biggest sporting event in the history of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. And it would be the biggest sporting event in all of these college towns. And instead, as an economic engine, what they do and what they've allowed is you take money out of Ohio by having the people with disposable income, rather than spending it in Ohio, you take it to Arizona or Florida or something like that, these places that really don't give a crap about college football. And so that's been the system. But why not help?
Yeah.
On every single thing I don't get. But in terms of the, man, if I'm Harbaugh, I'm loving this. I'm going to the line. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think this is going to switch anybody, but I am making fun of this on the, you guys go to Ohio State, you're too soft to play in the cold.
Yeah, right. You need a clean field. Is it too hard there?
It's too hard down there.
I guess that snowy field was a little too hard in Ann Arbor on the last time they played
it. It did snow. Maybe he's still chapped about that. It did snow.
Maybe that.
Oh,
they should have played the Ohio State Michigan game in Lucas Oil. Let's see how they feel about that.
It's louder, it's bigger, there's more tickets. There is a pulse, a person, I don't know what, I don't even know how to describe it, about going into that place and not rolling into Lucas Oil, which is too nice and too small.
No, and I mean, you're right, the further the way the game goes from where your school is, the more it becomes a big money person event. And the big money people are usually not the most rabid people because they're the ones that want to sit in the suites and, you know, live life a little more differently.
That's why the Super Bowl sucks.
Super
Bowl's a bunch of
corporate swells. Super Bowl had horrible atmosphere. I kept saying that watching because I did not go to the Super Bowl this year. It's the first Super Bowl. Well, I've watched two straight Super Bowls on TV. I normally go. There was no atmosphere. It sucks. Yeah. And that's what this will be. And also, I love just the concept. And it's, call me a romantic, but some kid, some sophomore waking up in his dorm room on a Saturday morning and getting dressed and walk into a playoff game and stay there.
That would be awesome.
Because we do this with the NCAA basketball tournament too.
They're going to be scheduled over Christmas break. They ain't going to be in the dorms.
No, it'll be the first round.
Yeah, that's again another reason to freaking get rid of the conference championship games and move the playoffs to when the students are on campus.
Whatever. We play like the NCAA basketball tournament is awesome, and I'm not saying there's a better way to do this because I don't think campus sites is it. But the one thing it misses is sometimes these buzzer beaters are in front of like a half filled, NBA, right. Some big hockey arena in San Jose, and like if the like let's say like Kansas is there, but they're not playing until the second game, or they played the first game, but everyone left to go to dinner, and then there's an upset in the set. It's like this. College basketball is a sport where the arena is one of the participants in the story. And that's the same with college football. The campus is one of the reasons. Why do you love college football? You don't, when your friends say, hey, me and a couple buddies, we're going to go down to the, we're going to go watch LSU play football. Well, who are they playing? Auburn. I don't know if that's going to be that good of a game. You don't care about the game.
Right.
You want a good game, but you care about, oh man, I always want to see that place. I heard the tailgate's awesome. I heard this is awesome. I heard Mike the Tiger. I want to hear the this is the personality of the sport. The best part of the sport, or one of the best parts of the sport, is the stadiums we have.
Yeah.
And we kick them to the curb.
Yeah. Yeah. In favor of the
Lucas Oil. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Indy's fine. Ford Field, fine.
Yeah.
Fine place. But like, they both have hosted Super Bowls, and nobody remembers those games because of the Super Bowl. Remember when it was at Ford Field? Oh, my God. What a scene that was.
I do, and the Seahawks got screwed, but yeah.
Asked the wrong guy.
It was actually the Steelers. Seahawks?
Seahawks. And yeah, the Seahawks. Right. Yeah.
The Steelers had a lot of fans there. It actually was somewhat memorable because the Steelers could drive there. It was one of the closest ever to a home game that they'd ever had. Anyway. That's about it, other than a bitter Seahawk fan who thinks it wasn't fair.
No, this is, I get the thinking that goes into college sports of basically discount the rank and file fans, you're taking away something. If you go ask everybody on an Ohio State message board, would you rather play an SEC team in December in Columbus or in Indianapolis? 100% of them are saying we want the game here. Come on. I mean, that, you're going completely counter to what's actually your fan base would like to see.
Anyway, I think that if push came to shove and this actually happened, the Buckeyes will play in Columbus. No, Gene Smith, I do not think will win this battle. Maybe he'll be talked out of it, but I don't know. We'll see. I got to put it this way. Just the whole thing's exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's why this delay is just like, all right. Like a playoff game in Ohio Stadium. I would love the rest of the country to see Ohio Stadium.
Sure. I know. I mean, bring it on. I want a playoff game in College Station where Penn State goes into play or whatever.
It may not even be a Southern team playing in Ohio. Could be a Big Ten, right. Big 12.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Could be Cincinnati. Yeah. Imagine that. Yep. I have covered four maybe playoff games in Green Bay, and it is I've been snowed in. it's not easy to get to. It's kind of, when you're there, it's just magic, right?
I got a twinkle under my eye when you brought up the student walking to a playoff game.
See,
wasn't
that sweet? That's why I'm a poet. I'm a poet, Sully.
A poet, yes, lacking the sensibilities of, the students wouldn't be on campus.
Well, but, you know what? Us dreamers, us romantics don't need this crass.
He went down a couple levels. We're romantic. He axed the championship game already and moved it up to the first weekend of December, and then we're
good. Yeah. That's fine. All right. Let's talk romance. and let's talk Brian Harsin and Auburn.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Yeah, we couldn't have done this. So we had a shot at it on Valentine's Day, but then we had the Merle Cote interview, which was worth delaying Brian Harsin. But now we get our romance story.
Yeah, I thought Merle's interview was good. People, regular listeners or just new ones, hit us up on Twitter. Did you like the interview? We're very hesitant to do these interviews.
That got was a lot of good feedback.
Very myself. Unique situation.
Yeah,
Merle had a lot to say, and I think it kind of clear. I like Merle, and think the whole thing was kind of garbage. So, you know, I was happy to do it, but we don't do much. I mean, we did not have a chicken sandwich story. We didn't. I mean, it was just awesome stuff we didn't get to. It's priorities. Let us know what you thought. If you liked it or don't, we're not going to do a ton. But
no, on but my the feedback I've received was really positive. A lot of people liked it. So
what you don't hear is, like I always say about feedback, is no one just sits there and sends you an email that says, like, hey, I mildly agreed with your story. You know, it's like, it's always like, you're,
yeah, it's 80% people that hated your story and 20% said, yeah, you thought you said exactly what I say.
Right. Yeah. That's generally it. All right. Harsin is back. Apparently, nothing happened. Auburn people are blaming social media. You know, got ran wild on social media. That was one of the complaints. Don't release a statement if you do not. Don't say you're judicially collecting information from a variety of perspectives, including you're just throwing meat to the lions. Of course we're going to go crazy. We're a bunch of morons out here. We're desperate for news and a good Auburn internal fight.
Well, now, yeah, and exactly. Where is all the gossip coming from? Within Auburn. So, you know, where is it starting? All your mouthy boosters who want to say that they are, I'm wired in and I know what's going on and this is it. Da 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 da. So Auburn can blame social media, or you can blame the people close to Auburn who are spreading all the stuff that ends up on social media.
Yeah, or in fact, there was even this investigation. We don't know what it all entailed, right? So maybe there is a really important reason I'm not going to dismiss that, because one of the things is people are scared in sports to do an investigation because it might look bad. And that's how you get Larry Nassar running around if you want to go to the extreme.
Right.
Okay. And so I'm not suggesting anything like that, but you want people to be like, hey, we can sit back. It's not about PR for a week. However, unless this is a really serious, serious situation of some kind of abuse or tumult or I don't know what it would entail. I mean, this to me was just self-inflicted wound. You hire Brian Harsin. We have said, I was very critical when I thought they blew the Alabama game. They should have won it. He's 6-7. He had some moments, but it fell off the cliff at the end. The recruiting class this year is good, but not good enough for SEC standards, especially when your two biggest rivals, Georgia and Alabama, are just literally own the 2026 draft class or whatever. I mean, just loading up. That said, you hire this guy from Boise, Idaho for a reason. I don't think it's fair to expect him to have a top five class in his first real full recruiting class in the SEC. It just takes time. There's no way Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are going to have more. You have to work into it. I do not expect Brian Kelly, even at LSU, to be as good of a recruiter this year, even class of 2023, as he would be in 2025 or 2027, right? It takes a little while. And if you wanted to hire someone who was going to have all the connections in the South, then you should have hired someone who had all the connections in the South. You didn't. So I think you either give this guy some time or and shut up. That's what I would do. Or you fire him because you're like, that was a bad idea. He gets $18 million. It would have been harsh. It would have been kind of ridiculous. But there were reasons to fire him. I'm not going to sit there and say, don't fire him. But I'm going to say, if you're going to say, hey, we hired a guy, let's give him a little time, see how he does, you got to get out of the way. What you just did is make it seem like he's going to get fired. And it is an incredible year for high school football talent, senior class, in the state of Alabama. And you've got Brian Harsin dragged all over the state. Kids are going to be like, I don't know if this guy's going to be there. And you have this quote. This has been one of the hardest weeks of my career. It had nothing to do with my coaching ability. The personal attacks on me and my family went too far and were without justification. Their resolve through this experience has been incredible, but also completely expected. We saw and felt the worst of the worst in some people. Fortunately, we also saw the best of the best. And we're always grateful for the support of many others, our players, the staff, the Auburn family, many others. You want to go play football in that situation? Yeah, now, Auburn's a great place to go to school, but Auburn is recruiting also have other options to go to great places.
Yes, they do.
They have to beat Alabama head-to-head. They have to beat Georgia head-to-head. They have to beat Clemson head-to-head. And you've got, I didn't see Coach William Christopher Sweeney putting out anything about that. Kirby Smart, or, you know, so this is just dumb.
No, it's, I mean, it is dumb, but it is predictable, and it is cyclical, and it's endemic to what Auburn has been and continues to be. I mean, you go back to Terry Bowden in the mid-90s, and they have been undercutting football coaches since then. Terry Bowden, Tommy Tuberville, Gus, even they wore down Gus and got Gus out of there. And now they went exactly 1 year with Brian Harsin, and they have absolutely poisoned the well. I don't think there's any chance Brian Harsin can succeed there now. You know, he has this toxic cloud over him. It will hurt recruiting, as you alluded to. It's going to hurt staff. What they've done is they're going to reduce the buyout a little bit in the next year, but they're going to have to make the same decision. Now, you know, why they wanted to make this move to begin with, I think goes back to the toxic culture. But for this instance, I will say, and we have killed coaching buyouts on this podcast a lot, the buyout did its job. The buyout protected a guy who I don't think should have been fired after 1 year. It wasn't a good year, but it was 6-7 in what people thought was a rebuilding job coming in for Gus Malzahn. They got rid of Gus because they didn't think Gus was good enough. They didn't leave the place in good enough shape. You have now, the buyout did its job by at least giving Brian Harsin one more year, but everything, the atmosphere around him has been completely ruined. I just don't think he has any chance of surviving. Now, maybe he can pull a Tommy Tuberville, where it looked like Tubbs was completely undercut, sabotaged, and poisoned. But then he went undefeated the next year after Jetgate. I don't think Brian Harsin's going undefeated next year, but if he has a successful year, maybe he can pull out of this. But I figure by mid-October next year, they've got it in the works to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's more likely he's fired regardless. So it's just a bad thing. But here's the thing. Who comes? Who wants this job?
That's the thing. Making it a more and more crazy place to work. Who wants to go there?
Yeah, absolutely. Why take this? How are you an attractive job? It's a great place, but it's also a tough place. You're surrounded by national championship programs. It's dog eat dog. It's the SEC West. A&M's coming. LSU's coming back. I mean, it's just brutal out there. And you have last month or December, Brent Venables took the Oklahoma job. Former Clemson defensive coordinator talked about his interest in the Auburn job the year before when they ended up hiring Brian Harsin. And Venables, we'll see if he's a good coach or not. I don't know. You never know with these guys, right? But this would be the ideal candidate if you're Auburn. The defensive coordinator at Clemson, he's got that experience in the South, the whole thing. You can't really get a better candidate without head coaching experience than Venables. Yep. And he said he didn't take it because he was nervous. Quote, I really didn't think we had the alignment at Auburn that we have here, meaning Oklahoma. So I was a little bit nervous. He told his daughter he was scared for her. I don't quite understand that part, but that was it. He was nervous about taking it. This very chaos scared away the ideal candidate.
Yeah. That was last year. Then it got worse. The chaos got bigger. Right.
So who wants the job? Because again, if the same thing with recruiting. Yes, Auburn's a great place to go play football, but if you're at that level, you have many options to go play head great. If you're Brent Venables, you sit there and go, I'll wait.
Sure.
Because I'm going to get a great job. I don't have to jump at something I'm not ready for. And lo and behold, here comes Oklahoma. And lo and behold, he's going to be in the SEC anyway. So not good for Auburn. I just don't know what you guys are doing.
No, that, and nobody
except
does.
Giving us fodder for the pod, which we appreciate. Right.
No, the alignment word, which, you know, you can roll your eyes to a degree at that, but that matters to coaches really, really importantly. And you hear it all the time. And you look at Auburn and you say, what's the most misaligned place in America? That's it. I thought Albert Breer writes the Monday Morning Quarterback Club for Sports Illustrated, does a great job with that. Had a great note. He put some notes at the end on things non-related to the NFL. And one of them was that if you laid out the Harsin situation with no names, school or coach or anything involved, just laid out the storyline. He said, give me one guess of what school it is, I would have gotten it right. Because everything adds up to Auburn in this situation. There's only one place that's that weird. It's, as you said, has a lot of pluses, a lot of great things about it. But boy, oh boy, does it find itself in some weird situations.
All right, how about a little recruiting? Arch Manning, down south. Mm-hmm. Let's talk Arch Manning. We're going to keep talking about it.
This is the Arch Manning recruiting podcast.
Yes. Unsubstantiated rumors. Because, you know, it's hard to find the Manning family. They're never like on TV. They're never doing commercials. They really hide. Very, very private people.
They lay low.
Yeah. I want to see the Caesars Sportsbook odds on where Arch is going. The whole entire family's on there. When's Arch get the Caesars deal?
Oh, right. Yeah, the Caesars commercial. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I mean, they got everybody else on
even
there.
Archie. Archie Cooper.
Archie Eli, Cooper. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah,
surprised we don't have Olivia. We need Miss Olivia on there.
Yeah, she just sits back and counts the money. The boys are out working.
It ain't bad.
Only the Mannings would be a little more public. If we only had more forums for the Mannings to give us information, it would be nice. One rumor has it down to two schools, Alabama, Texas. Now, Alabama makes a ton of sense, to say the least, except the fact that pretty much everyone in the SEC hates Alabama. And so his uncle, particularly people from Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Grandpa and both uncles are like, you're doing what?
And Cooper went to
Ole Miss. Yeah, Dad went to Ole Miss, yep.
Really? Alabama. But we're talking Nick Saban. The Mannings are a calculated group. They are a very smart group. They know how this works. They got Eli out of San Diego Chargers because they knew it was a garbage franchise, and they got him to the Giants, and he won two Super Bowls, right? This is when Peyton needed to come back, he picked the right spot. This is a very smart crew. So Alabama or Texas, which would be fascinating, because if Arch Manning went to Texas, you could eventually have a Quinn Ewers Arch Manning quarterback battle, which literally could melt down the entire state of Texas.
It really could.
The heat from that could warm the homes when their power grid fails every winter.
It could warm the frozen field at Ohio Stadium in December for a playoff game.
We'd have no worries about a cold snap coming in and ruining a playoff game in Austin because all they would do, you could have the University of Texas basketball team could be in the national championship game. Okay. And they could be holding the Final Four that year in Houston or up at Jerry World. And they could say, hey, Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning are going to have a throw off out in the parking lot, and the entire fan base would leave. The entire Texas area would be empty for the basketball national championship game.
That is 100% true. Actually, it's 100% true. It reminds me that in like 2000, I think it was, when Florida was in the Final Four and like Spurrier was having a spring football teleconference, and all the hacks who were covering the championship game had to stop that afternoon to cover the spring football teleconference for Steve Spurrier. So this would be the same situation, only bigger, because as you said, nobody loves anything more than a quarterback battle, and a quarterback battle between a Manning and a multimillionaire 18-year-old. I'd take that.
I have a conspiracy theory.
What do you got?
Peyton and Archie are pushing Cutcliffe to go to Texas because they're like, oh, it's down between Texas and Alabama. We can't have this kid going to Alabama. So we gotta pull the strings.
Could be.
Text to Coach Cut, be like, you gotta go down to Texas because we can't have Arch in Crimson. It just cannot happen.
So. That is a true thing in recruiting, though. There's times when it's like a kid wants to go somewhere that the parent or the coach hates, so they end up picking a third school. It's like safe choice, sure. Right?
Yeah.
So uncommon is Texas that. But Quinn Ewers is throwing it in. And then it's like Sarkisian just sitting there. I mean, Quinn Ewers can't transfer again, right?
He'd have to sit a year.
I mean, he'd get another million or some.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Highest paid college athlete to yet to play college athletics. But
I think he's going to Alabama. I don't think the Mannings will put him in that position. I mean, that would be unbelievable. You signed the top two players 2 years in a row and guys of that kind of hype. Cause like, all right, you have like Malachi Nelson and Dante Moore, like the other great quarter. They don't have the hype of a Manning.
Peyton Manning had to go up against Todd Helton, and then Todd Helton quickly
got out of here. But, see you later.
Yeah. He's like, I'm gonna go play baseball.
I remember the beginning of that era, Sully. Helton was ahead of Peyton on the depth chart at first. Because, yes, I went and covered, I don't know, maybe it was against Florida or something. They're going through the quarterback rotation, and Helton got on the field before Peyton did. Things UCLA. Changed. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there also was a report, Dan, though, that that was premature, that, you know, somebody else in a different report came out and said that now Georgia's still involved, Mississippi's still involved, maybe even who else? The guy, they had a couple other schools, Florida and someone else. They did say Clemson is not. We as the official Arch Manning recruiting podcast, we got it. We need to dig into our sourcing here and get to the bottom of this.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'll text
that
Cooper.
That grouping of teams leads me to believe that my conspiracy theory is correct. That Peyton Manning, Uncle Manning is pushing.
Texas is the outlier, the compromise outlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. I don't know. It might just be like, look, man, it's like it'd be better to try to beat out Quinn Ewers than listen to the disgust of my uncles and my and my grandfather, my namesake, right, as I go to Alabama. I don't know.
I would like to see the luxury box suite if he does go to Alabama and see if they could possibly get Archie and Peyton and Eli and Cooper into Alabama gear up there. Cooper, absolutely you could. It's not his kid. He'd wear Alabama gear. I'm not sure the other guys would.
A white neutral polo. That's as far as they're going, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good recruiting story. Ed Orgeron. Coach O.
We coming.
He was on the Rich Eisen show during Radio Row Week at the Super Bowl. And he was talking about the Rich, great interview. I just asked him, Gil, tell me a story about the Coach O was working at USC at the time as assistant to Pete Carroll, and he was recruiting Adrian Peterson, who was from Texas. And wanted him to go to USC, and he thought he could get him. But all of a sudden, Adrian says, hey, one of the big issues is my dad is incarcerated. His dad was in a federal prison in Texas. And Coach Stoops went to visit him. Good recruiting, Coach Stoops. But he said, Coach, if I go to Oklahoma, Adrian said, Coach, my dad would be able to see my games where he's at if I go to Oklahoma, right? Because, you know, they're not going to have the best cable package. No. In the prison day room, okay? So it's pretty much, you know, whatever coming on. So the Oklahoma games would be more common at this prison. So Coach O said, I tried to get the guy transferred to Los Angeles. Now that's recruiting, man.
That's a recruiting extra effort right there.
Yeah.
That's an extra effort.
Yeah, trying to get him to like the federal prison Lompoc or something like that. And then he could watch the SC games. I think it's a little reassuring. I mean, I don't think we all have a lot of faith in our judicial system, but as a member of the People's Court, I feel good that Coach O was not able to get a prison transfer.
I said, well, Adrian, what is the key to getting you here at USC? He says, Coach, well, Bob Stoops, my dad is incarcerated. Bob Stoops won't see him. Well, me and Pete Carroll tried to go get him and to go see him. They wouldn't let us in. But Adrian said, Coach, my dad is be able to watch my games where he's at. Well, if I go to Oklahoma, I tried to get the guy transferred to Los Angeles.
I would love to see if it was Ed himself having to go in front of like the prison board and say, your honors, we need Adrian Peterson's dad out in California because he's a good player, and we just need you to all make that happen, okay? How do you make that pitch?
I think we're all in favor of some prison reform. I think even the hardest core among us probably figure there's some room for improvement in our penal system, right? Coach O making decisions on where prisoners should be incarcerated is not on my high on my list. Oh, well, maybe it should be.
Well, no. I'm not sure I have great faith in all of our governmental stewards, but I am pretty sure I have more faith in most of them than I do in Ed Orgeron when it comes to matters
just
of
the mental picture of
prison
Ed O.
assignment.
Mental picture of Ed O hunched around some tiny Apple, you know, box in 2000 where he's looking at the very first cut up reel of Adrian Peterson hitting the internet and being like, oh, we gotta move his dad.
I'm going to get like,
him. I, but the funny amazing. Part is Coach O thinking he could do it because he probably was like, we'll get that done. I was like, no.
Right.
No, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, we have people sitting on death row that we proved were innocent like 3 years ago. Like, they found the DNA of the other guy who confessed. And they're like, yeah, we're still leaving them in here just in case. But I appreciate the effort and the optimism. Coach O, O stands for optimism.
Always thought he could get something done.
Move mountains,
man.
Yeah. going in there. Oh, well, how about, can we get him out early for good behavior? His behavior isn't too good, huh? Okay, well. You know, he had going down his checklist of possible things he could do.
Small item here for some of us who like college football and NASCAR.
It's a pretty good crossover bubble there.
Pretty good. Some of us. I don't know. I'm sure some's listening to it. Greg Biffle is going to drive a car in the qualifying for the Daytona 500 with a Grambling State paint job.
Really?
Number 44 car. This thing looks awesome. I don't know why. I don't know. Grambling State and Urban Edge Network HPCU League Pass is on the car. Okay. I'm going to find out about it because this car looks badass. We got Coach Prime going. Yeah. We got Grambling on the Daytona car. I mean, we got the All-American homecoming at HBCU that I'm hyping next Monday.
There you go.
I mean, it is what a time to be alive.
I can understand a fairly good overlap between college football fans and NASCAR, but SWAC fans in NASCAR? Is there an overlap?
Well, they're trying. They're trying. All right. So let's appreciate the outreach. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't, but whatever. It's a good looking paint job. Let me put it that way.
All right.
It is. The thing is, I'm rooting for that car. Just the look on it. Sometimes the paint job, I mean, I used to love the old Dale Jr. Budweiser can. Just was a straight Bud. Just
Rusty Wallace and then just the Blue Deuce.
Yeah. You know. Some of the ones that just are so good.
Is Greg Biffle, is he still a factor in NASCAR?
No, he could probably qualify. I don't know. I mean, it's the engine, you know? I mean, he's a good driver. But it's not like we're just, I mean, a lot of people try to qualify for the Daytona 500. It's like, I got a Chevy Equinox outside. Should I give that, you know, can we give that my Traverse?
The team is owned by a Grambling State alum, too, is awesome.
Okay, So,
okay, see
where we're at.
You gonna enter the Chevy Equinox? You gonna give that a shot?
I think I'll go with my Traverse.
Oh, there you go.
A little more horsepower.
Okay.
A little more horsepower on that. All right, we mentioned it earlier. The Hudson mayor has resigned. He says his job, it was kind of a part-time ceremonial figure anyway. So now he can, he said he was just being funny. He was just making a quip.
Okay.
And Brian Kelly.
My attempt to inject a bit of dry humor.
Bone dry, baby. Extremely dry.
Bit of dry humor. To make a point about this, in the midst of a cold, snowy February, was grossly misunderstood. Some in our community saw as an opportunity to engage in the politics of personal destruction by means of character assassination, blaming me for negative international press they helped promote. Oh, get over yourself, dude. What?
International press.
Yeah. Well, that might have gotten international press because it was so incredibly outlandish.
The Daily Mail.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail is on. They love this stuff. The
Daily Mail just waits for the next dumb American headline.
I mean, it's a ceremonial figurehead with no real authority. It's a little suburb. Apologies for this because his wife, I guess, passed away recently, but he was calling her first lady.
Oh, no.
I mean, like, you're the mayor. I mean, come on. Like, you're here to make sure no one steals the garbage trucks. That's about it. Like,
right. Like, yeah. You know what? Get the streets plowed. All right. You know, when you get 6 inches of snow, that's about it.
Right. That's about it. So if the checks bounce at the school system, someone's got it. You got to call somebody. That's it. Right. You're not really the mayor. It's anyway, good on you to your retirement. I am not here to engage in the politics of personal destruction. I hope that if two consenting adults want to make a business agreement out on the frozen lakes of Hudson, Ohio, have at it.
Maybe he can do a little ice fishing now in his retirement.
Who knows? That this guy
by himself, chastely in a shanty It's well lit, well guarded. Make sure nothing. No, funny
he's gonna
business
be out
going
there.
On.
That's his new job. He's retiring. He's just gonna go move out to the lake and make sure that everybody's keeping.
There you go.
Keeping their hands to themselves.
Uh-huh. Quick People's Court. People's Court. Play the sound.
Let me put on my robe and my wig here.
Yeah, Justice 40. This is the case of Sister Mary Margaret Krupper. She is a nun, a sister, a nun. Took a vow of poverty. However, she struggled to maintain her promise to the Catholic Church because of a gambling addiction that went out of control for a decade. She embezzled $835,000 from Catholic schools in Torrance, California.
Oh, my goodness.
Right down the road.
Where she was a principal, and she used the money basically on trips to Vegas to gamble.
Wow. 800 grand on trips to Vegas.
Yes. Let me give the details of
Did she wear her habit like into the casino? She, you know, rolling into Bellagio with the black habit on?
They don't like that stuff because it's like they want the face recognition. Yeah, she had, here we go. Large gambling expenses incurred at casinos and certain credit card charges. Deceptive behavior. Let me just say this. Let's let your imagination run wild with, this sister of the poor was doing in Vegas, Pat. What should we do with her? She's 80.
She's 80. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time throwing a nun in the lockup even if she's 40. At 80, I just can't do it. I can't do it. You know what? I mean, I would say tax her wages, but she probably doesn't have much wages. I don't know
she
what you
no
do
wages.
With her. But yeah,
she's a,
you know
she's
what?
She's a principal of a little Catholic school in Torrance. Yeah. Three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers. That's what you yeah, do. What are we doing here?
I mean, you know, and if she's 80, she's used to old school. You can, like, wrap her knuckles a few times. Maybe, you know, whap her on the backside with a yardstick. That's fine. That's fine.
I did not have any nuns. I went to Catholic school through my entire schooling. Did not have any nuns. But
no?
I had a mean old bird principal that stole our poker set. We were betting like chips and fruit roll-ups at lunch, and she stole it and did not give it back until the end of the year. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, at least let us use it. You know, we can, after school, we could do our own thing out in the recess lot, but nope. So wait a minute. I'm locking her up.
How old were you at this point?
That was like sixth or seventh grade.
Okay. And you were betting fruit roll-ups at school with,
with poker chips.
Between this and your rapping Bruce Pearl, I mean, we're finding all new parts of Sully's existence here. This is great.
I'm just saying, like that principal was, she was mean. She stole it. She put the hammer down on our gambling issues. So I'm going to put the hammer down on this lady, and I'm sending her to prison.
Okay, how about that? Wow, yeah. Retribution, eye for an eye, says Sully.
Well, I mean, it's that part of the Bible. You can pick your part of the Bible on this.
You
I
can
guess.
Always,
yeah.
always pick your. I say, you know, yeah, forgiveness is divine, whatever.
Well, yeah, poor sister. All right. And finally here, we talked the other day about weird animals going to the impound or whatever they call it. What is it? The animal shelter. The angry Cluck Norris. Cluck Norris.
Cluck Norris. Cluck Norris was an instant pod celebrity.
Yeah, I actually spoke to some people at South Carolina. I won't say because most of the time, these people don't want to be known to be affiliated with me in any way. But there was a slight movement to get Cluck Norris, a grassroots movement, shall we say.
Okay.
To get Cluck Norris as the in there and maybe put him in, give him his own. You can't put him in with Big Spur because he'll kill Big Spur. Right. Cluck Norris would kick Big Spur's ass.
Yes. No.
There's no question. We need Cluck
Norris. Yeah.
So, yeah, Spur has lived a very high, you know, society life. Like, that guy hasn't seen the inside of the pen.
Like,
he's,
that's right. Exactly.
Like, he's been hand-fed.
Cluck is
the
hardened.
Best.
Cluck is hardened, man.
It's tough. Cluck is from the streets, man.
Yeah.
Cluck's not. But maybe this could be an opponent for Cluck. I know they don't live in the same state, but this is in New York, in a small town in New York. A guy named Wevern Flat. He has a pet animal. He watches TV, lets it snuggle up next to him. It is a 110-pound Vietnamese pig. Okay. The village that he lives in says you are not allowed to have pigs as a pet in the town. This is not a farm town. So you can't just have a 110-pound pig rolling around the neighborhood. Okay. Flat is arguing that it is, Pat, you'll love this, an emotional support animal who helped him through a divorce.
Uh-huh.
No wonder the woman ran. I mean, if I bring home a 110-pound pig and let it roam around my house, I am divorced so quick.
Very quickly.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Like, they, you go to the job. Why? What are the reason for this divorce? The guy's got a 110-pound emotional support pig. Granted. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Case dismissed. Done. We're done here.
It probably didn't start out at 110 pounds. So I'm kind of imagining the scenario that it was just a little cute piglet and they were married and then it kept growing and growing and growing. And finally it was like near the pig and he's like, I'm keeping this thing.
Indeed. Actually, Flat, here they go. Flat was living in South Carolina when he got the pig in 2018. She was about as big as a shoe. Shoe? Like, what kind of shoe?
Well, who could have foreseen that a pig would actually grow?
Yeah. This thing is unprecedented. This is a big look. This is a big pig. This is a big pig. Anyway, I could never dream of giving away. The city is saying you gotta get rid of the pig. And Flat is saying, no, I could never dream of giving away somebody who's part of my family.
It's not a somebody.
She's very smart.
Sorry, Mr. Flat. Well, pigs are smart. Pigs are smart. You know what else, though? There's no such thing as an emotional support pig. Making bacon out of that sucker. Get it out. Forget it. We are not having emotional support pigs anymore than we have emotional support horses or any of the other shit we've talked about.
Pat jumps directly to the death penalty.
And yes.
And then the state using the body to feed people.
Yes.
A correct. Big bacon, big BLT sandwich in this town. Feed everybody.
There you go.
Well, according to Flat, she's more intelligent than my dogs. I mean, what about that?
Well, we don't eat dogs in this country, so no. Sorry.
All right. Don't get into killing the dogs.
And also, you
are Bad News Kennels, aren't you?
I mean, we could give an IQ test to the pig and the dog, have them take it side by side and see who's really smarter. But either way, one of them makes bacon, the other one doesn't, so...
I think she can kind of hone in on you when you're feeling bad because she'll want to come in and snuggle with you.
Oh, God.
I think there's other creepy things happening in this house.
Yeah, I'm not snuggling with a pig. I'm sorry.
Put the lotion in the basket. Has anybody searched the basement of this guy's house?
No, don't go there. Please.
I'm just saying.
How much support emotionally is he getting from
the pig? He has a card that describes Ellie, the pig, as an emotional support. It's a registration card. He keeps in it.
You print that off the internet? I mean, what?
A note from a nurse practitioner says Ellie helped Flat get off medication. And while he keeps in his wallet a laminated card illustrated with a headshot of Ellie, I'm looking at the card.
She has a driver's license, basically. Kind of.
Yeah. Saying she's a registered emotional support animal. The village's attorney says it was obtained online for a fee with no formal legal process. So this guy,
yeah,
come on. They're going to raid this guy's house and find Joe Dirt in the bottom of his asking for an auto trader.
There, look, I'm putting the lotion on the skin. I'm rubbing it in.
Come on, man, I thought we had a deal.
Oh, for Christ's sake, here.
Yay, auto trader.
A trial was scheduled March 22nd, has been delayed. If found guilty, Flat could face jail time or have the pig taken from him, according to his attorney. I think jail's a little much.
Yeah, and like I said, just, no.
I mean, I don't know,
put the pig to good use.
I mean, this house looks, I mean, you can see where the pigs like scratch the wall.
All right, I'll put the lotion on my skin.
This is really good work by KATU. A lot of details. In 2019, a family in the Buffalo suburb of Amherst was not allowed to keep a pot-bellied pig that they said was an emotional support animal for their daughter-in-law. The name of that pig? Pork Chop.
Okay. All right. At least they're acknowledging a little more what the pig's reason for existence is.
And an Indiana woman was told in 2018 to get rid of her emotional support pig for similar reasons. I mean, if they're not letting that go in Indiana, there's no shot in New York.
No. Yeah,
great work by KATU, really. We got case precedents here. Good work. This is good reporting.
Voluminous work. That's good. Voluminous.
Yeah. All right.
Get rid of the pig.
Get rid of the pig. Get rid of your pig. Or move. Just move. Find a place that likes pigs. I don't know. Right?
Go out and Fayetteville. Buy a farm.
Fayetteville doesn't have this rule. It's a beautiful place. Go to Fayetteville. They love the hogs there. All the hogs. Woo pig. All right, that's our show. We will be back next week with more. Appreciate everyone subscribing, listening, nice reviews, share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We need all the help we can get, clearly. Talk to you later.